A daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Katie Weaver, Susan Shand, and Anna Mateo. Later, Kelly Jean Kelly and I will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Katie Weaver.
Iran said on Monday it captured 17 spies working for the United States Intelligence Agency and sentenced some of them to death. American President Donald Trump has dismissed the report as totally false. Trump wrote on Twitter, "The report of Iran capturing spies is totally false. Zero truth. Just more lies and propaganda, like their shot-down drone, put out by a religious regime that is badly failing and has no idea what to do. Their economy is dead and will get much worse. Iran is a total mess." Iranian state television published images which it said showed U.S. intelligence officers who had been in contact with the suspected spies. The Iranian Ministry of Intelligence said the 17 spies were arrested between March 2018 and March 2019. The Iranian announcement came hours before Britain was to announce its answer to Iran's seizure of a British oil ship. Iranian forces used ropes from helicopters to raid the Stena Impero in the Strait of Hormuz on Friday. In London, government officials met to discuss the seizure. Britain's foreign minister later said the country will seek a European-led sea traffic protection team for the area. He said more details would come later this week. Fox News spoke with U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo about any possible U.S. action in answer to the seized British ship. He said, "The responsibility falls to the United Kingdom to take care of their ships." Tensions between the United States and Iran have increased since last year, when the U.S. withdrew from an international nuclear agreement. In May, the American government strengthened sanctions against Iran. The action effectively bars all countries from buying Iranian oil. Since then, Iran has increased its nuclear activity beyond the limits of the agreement. Also, the U.S. has accused Iran of attacking ships in the Gulf. After Iran shot down a U.S. drone in June, Trump ordered retaliatory airstrikes. He canceled that order minutes before it was to happen. Last week, the United States said it had shot down an Iranian drone, which Iran has denied. The United States' major European allies, Britain, France, and Germany, opposed Trump's decision to leave the nuclear deal. They have tried to remain neutral. But on July 4th, British naval forces seized an Iranian oil ship near the British territory of Gibraltar. Britain said the ship had violated European sanctions on Syria. Iran repeatedly threatened to retaliate for that incident. It says it is holding the Stena Impero for safety concerns. It says the ship's 23 crew members are safe. I'm Katie Weaver.
Bariatric surgery helps people who are severely overweight. The surgery can help them lose weight and regain their health. Doctors remove part of the stomach, so the patient is forced to eat less food. It is a difficult, life-changing operation. Yet some doctors think it should be done more often before patients become severely obese. Sean Rogers struggled for more than 20 years to control his weight while he battled the disease diabetes. By just dieting and continuing with the insulin, I was never going to lose the amount of weight I needed to change and get the diabetes under really good control, he said. Diabetes patients take insulin to get blood sugar or glucose into their cells. However, insulin can make people feel hungry, making it even harder to lose weight. Bariatric surgery is costly. In the United States, insurance companies will not always pay for the surgery. They require a patient's body mass index, or BMI, to be at least 35, even if a patient's diabetes is uncontrolled. BMI is the measure of body fat based on the person's height and weight. Stacy Brethauer is a surgeon at the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center in Columbus, Ohio. He says the BMI number does not always show how a patient is reacting to treatment for diabetes. BMI is not really a fair representation of who should be getting therapy, he said. Brethauer added that the rules for who gets bariatric surgery need to be changed. The patient who doesn't get the operation, we know very well that their disease will progress. Their lifespan will be shortened if they don't get effective treatment, he said. The American Medical Association identifies obesity as a complex, chronic disease that requires medical attention. If it is not treated, obesity can lead to heart disease, cancer, and diabetes. Brethauer believes early treatment is necessary for both obesity and diabetes. No one asks someone with cancer or heart disease to just do it themselves, but there's also effective therapy being offered to those patients at the same time, he said. Since he had surgery to reduce the size of his stomach, Sean Rogers has lost a lot of weight. His diabetes is also under control. Rogers no longer needs oral medication, and he has cut down on the use of insulin, going from nearly 500 units a day down to about 10. It's changed my life so much, he said. I would tell anyone, do it. I'm Susan Shand.
Moviegoers broke attendance records worldwide Sunday to see Marvel Studios' superhero movie, Avengers: Endgame. The result? Endgame became the highest-earning film of all time. In just 13 weeks, Disney's movie took in an estimated $2.79 billion from fans around the world. The film was released in April. It took the record from the 2009 science fiction film Avatar. Avengers: Endgame is the final movie in a series of 22 Marvel films that have excited fans for 10 years. Endgame stars Robert Downey Jr., Chris Hemsworth, Scarlett Johansson, and others. They play members of a superheroes group fighting the anti-hero Thanos, played by Josh Brolin. Marvel Studios president Kevin Feige spoke to fans Saturday at the yearly Comic-Con event in San Diego, California. He told them Endgame was about to reach the box office milestone. Feige also said Endgame would probably lose the title to Cameron's next film. James Cameron directed Avatar. He will begin releasing 4 new Avatar movies starting in December 2021. The Walt Disney Company this year got the Avatar use rights when it purchased several media products from 21st Century Fox. While Avengers: Endgame holds the new record, it is important to note that Avatar's earnings have not been changed to demonstrate inflation. And in the United States, Avengers: Endgame did not overtake Star Wars: The Force Awakens as the number one earning film in America. I'm Katie Weaver.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. On a bright summer morning, many young swimmers gather at a local swimming pool in the state of Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C. They are members of a competitive summer swim team. As they practice their strokes and cut seconds off of their times, they are getting lots of physical exercise and vitamin D from the sun. However, the benefits of belonging to a sports team are not just health-related. Team sports also help to build many life skills. The coach of the swim team is Paul Wass. He explains how swim team teaches the team members skills like discipline and focus.
I think the discipline comes into play when you're talking about focusing on the details that your coaches are saying as it makes you faster rather than just going up and down the pool the same way you have every time. So when you can focus on what you're doing right and what you can do better, then you'll see the improvement. I think they see that from their peers, and then it challenges them to do better themselves.
But discipline and focus are just 2 of the life skills that team sports can teach. There is also responsibility, goal setting, and working within a group. Again, here is Coach Wass.
It's really great. It's so fun to watch from year to year. I've had kids who, as 7-year-olds on the team, could barely pay attention in practice and were only interested in who was going first. And now they've come back as 8-year-olds and they've set some goals and now they have things that they want to achieve. They see the record board and they want their name up there.
These life skills can help a child later in life. An article published in the magazine Fast Company notes reasons why a company should consider employing former athletes. The writers argue that people who played sports in school are focused on goals, strong communicators, team players, good at managing their time, and resilient, meaning they do not give up when things get difficult. Some studies have found that team sports could be especially good for women. A series of studies by the company Ernst & Young found that 90% of women in so-called C-suite positions at several major companies had played sports. C-suite describes a corporation's most senior executives. These positions usually begin with a C for chief. Examples are chief executive officer, or CEO, and chief financial officer, or CFO. Other studies have shown that students who play sports are more likely to go to college and less likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. And young women who play sports are less likely to experience underage pregnancy. Paloma is a mom with 2 daughters on the Maryland pool swim team. She says being on the swim team has been a great experience for her children.
It's great exercise and it's great discipline, and they are able to do a team sport where they have individual goals, and so it balances out.
But playing team sports is not without harm. Some sports can be hard on the body. Young athletes can suffer serious injuries that follow them into adulthood. Coach Wass explains that swimming is different from most sports in 2 important ways. First, the risk of injury is less than most sports.
You know, swimming can have some injuries from high repetition, but in general, it's one of the safest and healthiest sports out there.
The second difference relates to how swim teams are structured. Swimmers compete as a team, but each individual swimmer races with the goal of improving their own personal time.
Swim team is interesting in that it's the individual combined with the team sport.
Paloma's older daughter says she likes many things about swim team.
I'm Priya, and swim team lets me do a sport that doesn't include a ball, but I'm also part of a team still, and so I get to do my own thing while doing things with other people. And you also get to make a lot of friends.
However, she says it is difficult when you beat your own team members.
One thing that's difficult is that you're competing against your own team members a lot, and sometimes that's a little hard on people.
Swimming also pushes her, she says, especially if she has been stuck in a rut, as she describes it. This phrase is used if someone has not seen improvements in their performance for a long time.
It challenges me because there are times when it's a little hard to improve and I'm kind of stuck in a rut, but eventually you do improve and it feels really good.
Children are not the only ones who can benefit. Adults can also benefit from team sports. A team sport for adults could be a recreational team offered at work or by a community group. Or it could be a group that trains together for a race or shares exercising goals at a gym. The benefits are the same. Increased confidence and self-discipline, improved health, and more fun and friends. For adults, there is also the added benefit of reducing stress. Adults should be sure to pick a sport that is right for them. If they haven't played the sport for a long time, there may be a greater risk of injury. Picking the right sport is also important for children. While all team sports can help a child, Coach Wass notes that swimming has one big advantage over other sports.
I just think this is so fun. The sun is shining, the pool is bright blue. Who wouldn't want to be on a team like this? That's all I can say.
And that's the Health and Lifestyle Report. I'm Anna Mateo.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History from VOA Learning English. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly. Today, Jonathan Evans and I tell about the presidency of Barack Obama. He served two terms, from 2009 to 2017. He was the country's 44th president. Barack Obama had campaigned on promises of hope and change. Obama was able to meet those promises, in part, on the night of his election, simply because he was the first African American president. Historian Michael Nelson is a professor at Rhodes College in Tennessee. He is also an expert on U.S. politics and the presidency.
There's a very famous photograph of Obama in the Oval Office bending over so that a little boy, a little African-American boy, can rub his hair and notice that the president's hair felt just like his did. That was a moment when millions of Americans who had never seen anybody who looked like them in the White House could look and say, well, it's happened. That's now within the realm of possibilities.
But while Obama's election marked a big change in American history, Michael Nelson uses a different word to describe Obama as president.
Barack Obama was about as steady as they come, not emotional, not impulsive, thoughtful, deliberate. For the most part, Obama was consistently the same from day one until the very end in terms of the way he conducted himself in office. And, of course, the presidency being a kind of fishbowl, the whole country was seeing that on a daily basis for 8 years.
When he first took office, Obama faced ongoing conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq and a struggling economy at home. The issues were so urgent that he spoke about them in 2009 in his first speech as president.
Our nation is at war against a far-reaching network of violence and hatred. Our economy is badly weakened, a consequence of greed and irresponsibility on the part of some, but also our collective failure to make hard choices and prepare the nation for a new age.
In answer to these issues, Obama and his advisors developed plans to fight terrorism and ease U.S. involvement in the Middle East. In 2011, U.S. Special Forces killed the leader of the Al-Qaeda terror group, Osama bin Laden. He had organized a number of terrorist attacks around the world, including those carried out against the United States on September 11, 2001. Also in 2011, Obama declared the U.S. military was ending its involvement in the Iraq War. In 2014, he announced plans to withdraw U.S. combat troops from Afghanistan by the end of 2016. At home, Obama's administration was facing another kind of emergency. Several American banks had already failed. Other banks and industries were at risk, not just in the United States, but around the world. A major economic depression seemed possible. In answer, one of Obama's first acts as president was to sign a large spending bill known as the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. The measure reduced taxes for some families and paid for improvements to roads, bridges, and other infrastructure.
Also in 2009, the Obama administration approved a federal loan to save some major car-making companies from financial ruin. Without the money, the companies said they would have been forced to cut jobs and would have trouble making payments on debt. Many Americans opposed the administration's actions. Some argued against government spending. Others objected to saving businesses, while everyday people lost their homes or savings. But historian Michael Nelson defends Obama's actions.
Because the crisis never occurred, it's sort of hard for people to appreciate how close we came and how important it was to stimulate the economy and shore up the banks and reassure creditors and debtors and mortgage owners and everybody else that the government was on top of things and the economy was not going to sink to the very bottom.
Election of Barack Obama and the work of his administration was followed not only in the United States, but around the world. Less than 8 months into his presidency, the Norwegian Nobel Committee surprised many people by naming Obama as the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize. It praised him for his extraordinary efforts to strengthen international diplomacy and cooperation between peoples.
Obama was often described as a calm, unemotional leader. Yet the American public came to see another side of him. During his White House years, he often spoke to the nation after difficult or sad events. In 2013, two bombs exploded as runners neared the finish line at the Boston Marathon in Massachusetts. Three people were killed and more than 250 injured. Immediately after the attack, Obama spoke to reporters.
Make no mistake, we will get to the bottom of this, and we will find out who did this. We'll find out why they did this. Any responsible individuals, any responsible groups will feel the full weight of justice.
That concludes the first part of our story about the presidency of Barack Obama. Join us tomorrow for the rest of the story with The Making of a Nation.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.
This is VOA News. I'm Marissa Milton. As one